So I'm going to be talking about how city twinning is really underpinned by aspirational governance. And despite some of the aspirations being marginalised or sidelined over time, elements of city twinning is all about this idea of aspirations, particularly around things like competition and cooperation, connectivity, individual and collective responsibility, friendship, hospitality. And twinning, therefore, is a really good example of how kind of aspirational urban governance actually is taking place even within neoliberal cultures of audit and evaluation and monitoring. Those of you might know the cities your city is twinned with, mostly through civic visitations, educational exchanges or cultural cooperation stories in newspapers or groups of dignitaries visiting your city from around the world. It's a widespread practice. Most cities have numerous twinning partners. So just in the UK alone, there are 1,390 cities twinned with partners around the world. Some of them quite bizarre matches as well. There's a city of Slough in the UK that's actually twinned with Disneyland. Lots of small villages are twinned with New York. So often they're based upon either some random connection or some sense that there are similarities between cities. My first experience of twinning came about when this sign appeared at the bottom of my street. It's much bigger and I was much smaller, and I must have been about 13. And I stood there looking at this sign, amazed. I thought, well, Cardiff, my city, we must be very popular. We must be very important to have friends in America. I had to look some of these up in my atlas as well. I didn't even know how to say them or where they were. Of course, now I realise that during that period, the early 80s, this was part of Cardiff's attempt to reimagine itself in the wake of deindustrialisation of South Wales. But for me, it really sparked my imagination about how my city was connected with other places in the world. It made me realise that I was a geographer, and along with other things going around, how kind of Cardiff fitted into this new urban hierarchy, how Cardiff responding to the effects of kind of the decline of mining, how it's trying to reimagine itself by stretching out around the world to places it was considered to have similarities with. So twinning, broadly speaking, has three historical phases. The first twinning began at the end of the Second World War in Europe as a part of kind of reconciliation process where cities of Europe tried to offer help and support to countries and cities that had previously been at war with each other. It was about cooperation, about building bridges and then physical redevelopment of cities, about planning and knowledge transfer. The second phase took place broadly between the 1960s and the early 80s, and it was often led by socialist councils in the UK around some sense of progressive responsibility about further places around workers' rights or nuclear-free cities, or connection with cities in Soviet and communist countries. And then later in the 1980s, twinning got a really bad reputation because there was a sense of taxpayers' money, particularly in UK cities, being spent on sending civic dignitaries on holidays around the world. And the idea that maybe it was okay for national level, for the royal family and prime ministers to be given a some sense of hospitality and to go on holidays. It wasn't right at an urban level. So there were lots of kind of negative stories about money being wasted on trips that were about fun, food, and listening to music and drinking lots of alcohol. And this took place at a time, of course, where we all know about how monitoring and evaluation and neoliberal urban governance was being imposed. And these are the kind of practices that take place and still take place to different degrees in different cities. And some of them become more important and less important over time. But still kind of all take place, no matter how much some of the cities argue that it becomes more about economic development or job creation or technical cooperation or expertise being transferred. So the research is quite an obvious study. We did lots of interviews with Manchester City Council officers and also various grassroots organisations in Manchester and their twinning partners. We really wanted to do some more research in terms of ethnographies of the actual twinning events. We wanted to do more performative research about how hospitality was enacted and reenacted and received. Unfortunately, didn't get any money for it, so we had to stop with this bit. And these are Manchester's twinning partners. And actually only three of them, in reality two of them, are active. City Council deciding that the ATP to not actively engage with most of those cities, although lots of small groups and organisations still are involved in connections, but they find it more difficult over time to fund that, or as individuals die, keeping those relationships going. We've written about this in other papers, so go and read more around this if you're interested in it.
Which are the two active ones?
Oh, I'll get to those in a bit. There's lots written about twinning, mostly in political science, that's kind of quite descriptive about its history and its geography, number of kind of twinning activities. The best writing around it was Nick Clark, who talked about those historical changes around localism and politics of scale as cities, kind of again stretching out different spatial scales. And this is definitely the best work before ours, basically. So Clark really talks about state theory and restructuring the political economy, and it's really interesting stuff. He talks about this movement to care at a distance, to care in a hurry, where a lot of twinning activities became more about short-term activities rather than long-term friendships. Cities stopped using twinning and went for more instrumental short-term relationships between different cities. And I think his work is good, but it really misses out that twinning isn't subject to that formal monitoring or evaluation. It's not a numbers game. There's no audits involved in the outputs and results of twinning you get with many other kind of city-to-city relationships. But rather, that twinning is still performed by things around friendship and hospitality. And that's what we think that Clark's work is really missing out on, this idea about how local governments, city governments, use special relationships, individual and collective connections, friendships, to bring about certain economic actions that perhaps can't be measured, or if they were measured, they would be seen as negligible or small in relationship to the actual activities going on. But that doesn't stop it happening. So the first thing to say is Manchester is really clear that because of that concern about holidays for councillors and mayors, that it doesn't actually do twinning, it does friendship agreements. And because it is about that, the idea that cities shouldn't be involved in this kind of long-term friendship agreement, should be much more entrepreneurial, undertaking connections and make direct benefits, measurable benefits to its citizens. So, the two cities that Manchester's twinned with is Wuhan and St. Petersburg, the close relationships that they develop. And historically, both of those relationships developed because of grassroots influence on the city council. So there was a big group of Wuhan citizens in Manchester who said, hang on, isn't Wuhan the Manchester of China? We should be friends with them. Or that there was a long-standing Manchester-St. Petersburg association that individual citizens had developed over time that became more concretised, and eventually the city council signed up to these relationships. So they're the two dominant ones I'm just going to talk through now, and how this idea of hospitality still underpins the way that new languages are used for friendship and hospitality. So Manchester City Council, I think, are actually quite clear in the fact that they take seriously the idea about reaching out of the city, about being out in the world, in order to give Manchester a profile. And it's also quite arrogant because Manchester on a weekly basis gets asked to get involved in new twinning partnerships, which it rejects. And they're going, oh, it's so annoying, we get all these people from around the world coming to us to answer their questions. Because it's the idea that Manchester has had innovative regeneration programmes that they think is a model that's been reproduced. So this kind of idea that tourists are coming to Manchester to find out about it, but Manchester has to be quite strategic about who it wants to speak to and who wants to reach out to. And particularly in China, the city council really believe that the long-term twinning relationship between Wuhan is really important, not only in terms of its connection with Wuhan, but beyond in China. In reality, Manchester doesn't want to be twinned with Wuhan. It wants to be twinned with Shanghai. So it spends, it uses connections with Wuhan to make friendships with Shanghai and other parts of China as well. And the idea in terms of China context, Manchester will use friendship agreements to try and engage in cultural discussion about how you make economic connections between Manchester and Chinese cities. And a lot of that is about the very thing that historically the city council has tried to keep away from. So both football teams from Manchester have often gone to China, and they're used by the city council as moments to express some sense of Manchester identity. So with the football, music is often used as well, and creative industries. And the groups of people that go on these trips are very strategically chosen, unlike in the past where they would just be groups of dignitaries. It's often local universities, representatives of the airports, particular big businesses in the city, football teams, some of the creative industry development workers. They're kind of, you know, a group of people that go to these cities that are chosen to represent Manchester in a particular way. And the idea that football, food and drink gets that relationship, makes those businesses, that business happen, is not unusual for the private sector, but talking about these terms in terms of governance is really interesting. So there's always described as being okay to reach out as long as they're fact-finding trips. There is some public and private sector connectivity. It's often kept to a minimum. One of the Wuhan local Manchester Wuhan group said, well, we wanted to meet the Wuhan delegation, but the city council thought the children might annoy our esteemed visitors or embarrass us. So the children who were there performing were kept well away from the visiting dignitaries. So it's okay for football boxes, civic receptions, the naming of streets. There's the St. Petersburg Street in Manchester. Acrobats and children are part of that kind of connectivity, but not in the way they were foregrounded in the past. And I think there's a real lack of kind of reflexivity in how Manchester is being judged, because it focuses on just Wuhan and St. Petersburg. It tailors its strategic approach to that. There are lots of tensions involved in how its other twinning partners are viewing Manchester. So in St. Petersburg, and this is a very guarded quote that came from the St. Petersburg representative, who talks about how their other city partners are much more active, take much more time, are much better friends to St. Petersburg than Manchester is. That even though Manchester thought it was putting a lot of effort into one of its two important twinning partnerships, actually, in relation to other cities, they were seen to be poor friends or not performing that hospitality as well as other places. And so there was this kind of idea that actually Manchester too could do a lot better. So the city council was really failing in understanding how the relationality of friendship has been judged in terms of how other people were performing. that's it, kind of the other way that Manchester City was less potent in invested time and money and effort into their relationships with the two most important cities that they judged. Okay, so some conclusions. Manchester thinks it's doing this worldly evaluation of twinning. It thinks that twinning still has something to offer, more than kind of just informal, in a hurry, city-to-city connections. It does put effort and time into that friendship relation. It does offer friendship. It believes it's offering some sense of connectivity and cooperation, cooperation with other cities. But it is seen as this traditional values of reciprocity and hospitality, the motivations for undertaking these city partnerships. But of course, as I said, it's been judged really poorly. And whether that will actually impact on Manchester's kind of competitiveness is difficult to know, because none of this stuff is actually judged. That audit culture has never kind of, you know, looked at how many jobs are created, how much money comes through. So this idea that it's still worth doing, but we don't know how useful it is. The sense of hospitality and friendship is important. We think it's working, but we don't know. So the fact that Manchester is judged poorly by all its twinning partners, or by St. Petersburg, it still invests amount of time in this. So there's this, this Manchester and other cities are involved in friendship and hospitality. Okay, I think that'll do.
Yeah, so it seems like all of our presentations are